Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad you're with us. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on the air. Mike Dempsey along with Mark Long from the Associated Press. Fat Tony in the house. We'll hear his conversation coming up with Winston Guy, who is angling to be one of the starting safeties for this football team. And we'll take a look at Blake Bortles signing his new $20.6 million deal.
That's
impressive. To your deal?
Close. And I think over the course of my life, I hope to make $20 million, but I doubt I will.
Boy, good luck to you.
I know.
They must be paying better at the AP
than
I thought.
I'm just hoping. I'm just saying I'm hoping.
All right. I mean, that's why I buy a ticket when, you know, the Powerball goes into triple digits.
That's right. Well, and you still always got a book deal. You always got a book deal on the horizon, possible
you
book deal.
You think so?
Sure. Your story?
It wouldn't be my story.
No, you get it.
The book deal that I would get would be the dirt on everybody else's story.
That would be good.
Yeah, it would not have a wide ranging appeal, I think, outside of Duval and St. John's and a few others, but it'd be all right.
I think it could be called During the Break. You've talked about during the break.
That would be fantastic.
That's all the good. The good stories happen during the break.
We should make that an audio book. We should
during
just record
break?
It all. Right. Lauren should be running hot.
How do you know she hasn't?
She may be. Maybe she's the one getting the book deal.
Yeah. By the way, I want to go back to Winston Guy.
We've got.
Did you ask Winston Guy about his little run-in with Mercedes Lewis yesterday?
No, I didn't. I did notice that those two guys got after each other a little bit.
He darn near got his A beat on the field.
Yeah.
And because that would have happened, by the way. That's not the guy you want. You don't want to mess with this 6'8", 245-pound, 260-pound tight end.
I'd go 6'6", 260.
6'6", 260. Okay, 6'6", 260, who's pretty affluent.
Body fat, 0.3.
Pretty affluent in martial arts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did the whole Ultimate Fighting
season, right? Yeah, he's done it many times. Yeah.
Yep. What is that one? Krav Maga? What is that one? You know the one I'm talking about?
All I know is he didn't do the same program that Derek Harvey did.
Oh, well,
no. You remember the Derek Harvey video?
Thank God.
Oh, no, it's much better than Derek Harvey.
That was fantastic.
Somebody ought to just throw it. Somebody has to have that Derek Harvey video.
Tweet us a link to the Derek Harvey video.
Let's do it.
Tweet us, we're going to give you a T-shirt.
There you go. I like
it. Out of the gates. You can tweet at MD_1010XL. You can tweet at AP Mark Long. You can tweet at 1010XL Fat Tony and at 1010XL Lauren. We got several pictures of Osher in the aviators yesterday. We requested those because he was going out to practice with his aviator glasses. By the way, use those our individual specific Twitter accounts. If you tweet at Jaguars today, that goes to somebody who seems to be doing a nice job of posting things that we say on the show, which is fine. I don't mind that, but we're not necessarily going to see them. Not necessarily affiliate. I only stress that because I'm just, you know, you always wonder, are they setting you up for that?
Sure.
Suck you in, and then all of a sudden they start saying all these things about Dempsey said. That's neither here nor there. Before we get into the whole Blake Bortles situation, which we will, obviously, you're a football fan as well, right?
I am. I don't know how you can not be a football fan this time of year, every 4 years. I mean, World Cup's
If your country's in the World Cup, sure.
Well, I think even if your country's not, how do you not watch Brazil yesterday? Host country. How do you not?
I didn't.
You didn't. Well,
man,
you missed out. You missed out. It was amazing.
I saw six saves on the highlights. That's all he made. He made six saves, five more right at him.
It's like six more than Lorena Ochoa has made this year.
It's like somebody commented on Deadspin last night.
He's watching the Derek Harvey, by the way.
Soccer can be so boring that when anything of note happens, it tends to be over-dramatized a little bit. So...
Listen, I watch.
I'm going to tell you. I'm rooting for Team USA. It's fantastic. Okay. I'll watch all their matches. But once they're out of the World Cup's over, as far as that goes. Oh, there's Ryan Robinson waving hello.
He's giving us a little hello.
It's nice. We got the new window here. So
we do have a window.
Stop by and wave to us while we're doing the show.
Listen, you ought to be watching the World Cup just for the crowd shots. Okay?
Brazilian women.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, they're hot
women everywhere, though.
Not like they are in Brazil.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Nah, that's pretty hot. It's pretty hot.
My brother-in-law is actually going to go. He hopes anyway. He flies for American Airlines. And he flies a lot of South America routes. And so he's going to be in Brazil sometime in the next week. He's going to try to go see Colombia and the Ivory Coast.
Wow.
I asked him if he had tickets. He said, no, I don't think it'll be sold out, dude. I don't know.
No, there were empty seats for the Ivory Coast first game. So
were there?
Yeah.
Columbia's the kind of fan base, though, that if you don't win, they kill you.
Columbia packed
it. I mean, they have
own goals. Anyway. Yeah, own goals.
Right. Only because that's happened. Do I bring that up?
Yeah.
So, but you're satisfied.
So you watched the U.S. game.
Of course I did.
And then you've watched nothing else.
I took a nap, set my alarm. I mean, I didn't want to miss it. Watch it.
Set your alarm. It was at 6 o'clock at night.
I took a nap. I told you, I took a nap. A little afternoon nap.
All right.
That's kind of the perks of Jaguars today.
6 o'clock at night. All right.
Yeah, well, I laid down at like 4 o'clock for like 90 minutes.
Are you a college student?
I act like one.
Okay.
Sometimes,
right.
As much as
good
possible.
For you.
Why
listen,
should
good
you?
For you. I'm not going to be a hater.
It's a great time in your
if
life.
If you can
right?
get a nap, get a nap.
I got a little nap.
I don't know about 5 o'clock naps.
It was
or
like
5:30
now. 4 o'clock to like 5:45, something like that.
A 2 hour nap. Ballpark.
Naps are fantastic.
Are you then up till 2 a.m.?
Often.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's kind of.
You know, there's no like NBA to watch at 2 a.m. or.
No,
hockey.
There's not. But there's always a show. Like last night, I had Fargo, right, which was on from 10 to 11:30,
okay.
And then I kind of half.
A movie you probably also have
it's
on VHS.
Movie. It's not a movie. It's a series.
Yeah, the TV show.
Oh, well, there's
on
also
FX.
A movie named Fargo. Isn't
well,
it?
That is
okay.
correct.
That's
and
what
it's,
I thought
it's
you were
based
watching.
On the movie.
Okay. All right.
And then so they played it, and then they replay it immediately afterwards, and then I watch it the second time and pick up the things I may have missed the first time around. So,
Fargo or Game of Thrones, which one's better?
I like them both. I mean, it's like choosing between your kids. If I had more than one kid.
Everybody has a favorite kid, okay?
Game of Thrones, much, much better nudity. Put it that way. In fact, I don't know if there's any nudity.
If we're ranking it on nudity scale, you need to be at Cinemax at 2 a.m. then.
I don't have Cinemax, but I'll take your word for it. My buddy's dad. My buddy back in the 80s was one of the first guys that I really think one of the first guys that had a satellite dish for his own home. You know, he was a doctor and all this. And, you know, we would sneak out of the house at night and go traipse around the neighborhood, and occasionally we would come up and through the sliding glass door, you'd catch his dad on the couch watching a variety of channels at the wee hours of the morning. So, all right, Blake Bortles got his deal done, $20.6 million. It's all guaranteed. We don't know if there's any offset language. It shouldn't matter with a quarterback. I can't imagine. Look, the guy's not even going to play if they have their druthers until next year. The only reason offset language, what it is if Blake Bortles were to get cut, he still gets paid that salary over the next 4 years, whatever his salary is. He got the signing bonus today. What did it come out to, like
13.4, I believe?
13.4 to sign.
Right.
So really, you've got then over 4 years about $7 million in salary spread out over 4 years.
Right, and you get the signing bonus gets to be spread out over.
The signing bonus for cap purposes gets to be spread out, although he gets
correct.
That money right now.
Right.
So if, for instance, they were to cut him after 3 years and they owe him $2.5 million, let's say, for the last year of the deal, the offset language is only important if another team then were to sign him for, say, $1 million. You're on the hook for $2.5 million. If there's no offset language, he gets to double dip, basically,
correct.
Which is such a non-consideration whatsoever. You're taking a quarterback third overall. I don't even think this should be an issue. If you're thinking about offset language for a contract for a quarterback you took in the top three, you probably should have been more convicted on that quarterback.
Well,
right?
I just think the owners are against double dipping because it's, you know, across the board. It's you know, I can see where they don't want to do
it. It's such a small thing, though, don't you think, Mark? I mean, so many guys, who was it, Mathias Kiwanuka, you see his comments yesterday? He took a deal. He was scheduled to make like $4.5 million, and the team came to him and said, you're not playing here for $4.5 million. We want you to play for $1.5 million.
Right.
And, you know, he said, look, we didn't want to uproot my family. I got kids in school, all this. I took the deal. He probably realized he wasn't going to do better on the open market, but his point being that, how is it a contract if one side can terminate it with no repercussions at any point? Well, look, that's what they collectively bargained. But for every case like that where the owners, you know, are able to hang that guillotine over your head, do you want to play for this or do you not want to play at all? For a couple of guys to have the opportunity to potentially double dip because you screwed up with a top 10 pick is, I think, is not even worth arguing about.
Well, yeah, you're right. But it's also, you know, for the guy who maybe not is a top 10 pick or whatever, but, you know, he's on the roster week one, so he's got he's a vested veteran, so he's a fully guaranteed contract. And
you know
you
can do that one time, though, in your career, right?
You don't need him, yeah. But, I mean, most guys it doesn't
right, it only applies, right. Exactly.
And then you don't need him, you know, come week three, you decide you want to move on, some other team, and all of a sudden the guy's making,
that's
you know,
true.
As much money as, you know, double money of most veterans in the
good
league
for him.
Or whatever.
He gamed the
well,
system.
Well, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, honestly, I just...
The players have all... I mean, the players are making all the money. I know the contract issue and that they can be cut at any time. There's no guarantees or whatever beyond there. But, you know, the players, they're not working in the offseason very much. They're not... You know, they're being protected.
They're getting better every day.
They're being protected. The players got the upper hand in this deal. Everybody knows it.
You think the players
got
the upper hand?
Yes, absolutely.
You are the one person in
absolutely.
America who
no.
thinks the players... Oh, are you kidding me?
The players got it all. The rookies are the ones who got screwed.
Sure they did.
Okay, and they're the only ones.
But... You're the first person I've heard that thinks that the players got the better end of that last labor deal. All they're doing is complaining about it. They all hate it.
Players always get the better deal.
They always complain about it, too.
Well, they get complained about it compared to the NBA money and baseball money and hockey money.
I think the pendulum swung back to the owners last time. But regardless, players are going to complain about it anyway. That's a funny...
And the owners are going to complain.
One of the funniest things to me is this whole franchise tag thing, which affects like 10 guys a year, maybe, right?
If that, yeah.
And they go nuts over it. This is so unfair. All right, fight for it then. You know why you won't fight for it? Because it affects 10 of you, and everybody else doesn't want to be holding out and not making any money at all. But, they love complaining about everything that's in the collective bargaining agreement, which they voted for and signed off on.
Sure.
So they're all getting rich, man. It's all good.
This is true.
Second only to Mark Long's 20-point X. Blake Bortles
over my lifetime.
20.6 deal. Actually, he's hoping to make that in his lifetime, and God bless you if you can.
Again, well, I'm going to start taping your off-air
this
comments.
This room is not making 20 points. I don't know what Fortunato does
on the
side.
He's been around here a long time.
He has a few side jobs that I'm sure we don't want to delve too deep into today. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll open up the phone line. So if you want to weigh in on Blake Bortles, you're welcome to do that. 641-1010. We'll tell you what the Tom Bush question of the day is coming up, which is Blake-related, and it will require you to put on your thinking caps a little bit today. We've already gotten a number of interesting answers in that regard. Tony caught up with Winston Guy, and you'll hear that conversation coming up today as well. Also hear Gus Bradley, some of his comments post-practice yesterday. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press. Fat Tony here with you, live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What do you got? What do you got for us, Tony? Anything?
I got nothing.
Mark Long, identify this music.
Oh, come on.
We're not very good at it. Fortunato is... You should see him, how intently he is listening to this right now. He just took off the headset so we do not call upon him. What do you got, Lauren? Give me an artist and title, please.
This is Trick Daddy Sugar.
Ooh.
Trick Daddy Sugar.
Yep.
This is a very subdued Trick Daddy song.
Now, all right.
I love
possible themes today involve, obviously, Blake Bortles signing his new contract. Is he the new Sugar Daddy? I don't know.
I like that.
From Lauren. See, I never know Lauren anymore. Are these on the air? Are they not on the
air?
This
one is.
That one was. I'm guessing Sugar Daddy is not the theme.
It is not. But that was a good thought.
Sugar.
I'm starting to be concerned with how easily you're starting to at least get part of these.
Well, I mean...
You're becoming predictable.
Tell us the name of the band and the song.
That's true, too.
So that was helpful.
But you are becoming predictable in your theme.
You think so?
We have a T-shirt winner, too, by the way.
We have two T-shirt winners.
Well, you said the first one didn't work.
Well, but neither one of them really worked. They both took me to the same link.
Mine?
Did it work?
Mine works, yeah.
Maybe it's my computer. Did the Poppin' Bortles one work for you?
It did.
Is that your phone or my phone, Tony?
This is my phone.
I thought it was ringing.
No one's
phone. Sounded just like
ringing.
My ring.
That was probably Trick Daddy.
Is that Fortunato over there?
It was Trick Daddy.
May have been. All right, you got one that worked, though?
Poppin' Bortles sent it to you?
That's the first one we received?
Absolutely.
All right,
I'll watch
Poppin'
it again.
Bortles.
I don't know what y'all are talking. I'm not messing with this man.
Not with those moves. NAIDA904.
Derek Harvey.
Look at those moves.
See, I can't look at these moves because on mine it says an error occurred. Please try again later. Learn more. Here's what you learn.
And then it challenges you.
This is an Acer. I don't know. That's at least the monitor. I don't know what the computer is, but I'm thinking circa 19. and the next number is a 9-something. I guess it's 19. It probably wouldn't have been an 8. But anyway, not playing right now. But Poppin' Bortles, who I believe is a T-shirt winner already, is a double winner. Triple winner, simply for listening to Jaguars
today. He's storing them, stocking up on T-shirts.
He's doing all those things, all the above. Wednesday.
He now has one more T-shirt than I have, by the way.
Do you still not have one?
I have one Jaguars today T-shirt.
You have one?
I have one.
Oh, so you're now saying it's one more.
He
you need
one more
a, you need another one?
No, I don't necessarily need two.
You sure?
Well, we'll see.
All right. When the new tanks come in.
Oh.
but you have to wear it to earn it.
Oh, there are no tank tops allowed in this room.
And no tank tops. Well, not in the room.
Tank top free zone.
We wouldn't do it. We'd do it like at training camp at Bartram Trail. That's what would be required of you.
You know what? I don't know that they'll let you in over there at Bartram
with
Trail
the tank
with
top.
A tank top.
That could be the case. Yeah. The O'Halloran could be in trouble with the flip-flops. The footwear could be an issue.
Yeah, good point.
When training camp is open. Today,
Vito in the swim shirt.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, they might. They might have problems with that.
Today, practice open to the public for the second time, the final time until training camp comes around. So 10:55 today, just about 30 minutes from now, I would assume there are probably some people lining up out there as we speak. Yesterday, we had XL Primetime broadcasting live from training camp or from mini camp, and we'll have the same today. Going on, so hopefully you're making your way out there, and maybe we'll come up with something for you to get photographic evidence of to score your own T-shirt later on today. Told you we would tell you what the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight was today, and it is this. It is complete this sentence. In the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will blank. Just like Match Game. You a classic game show guy?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Match Game was the best game show of all time.
If he's smart, he'll finish that sentence with marry his girlfriend.
Could be.
Lock that up.
Put a ring on it. I don't know. I'm thinking right now, you know, as far as the old Costanza hand situation goes, guy who signs a $20.6 million contract is not lacking in the hand department today.
True story.
You know?
True story.
So, you know, we'll see how that whole thing plays out for Blake Bortles. Maybe somebody else will say, enjoy everything that comes with being a 20-something NFL quarterback. Good luck to him, whatever he decides, as far as his personal life goes. But that is the fill-in-the-blank today. It is in the next 4 years, with the Jags signing Blake Bortles to a 4-year deal, team option for a 5th year, as you have with a first-round pick. So basically, the Jags control him for the next half-dozen years if they chose to franchise tag him. If he's that good, that's a great problem to have if you're in a situation where you're considering giving him a long-term second contract or applying the franchise tag.
Yeah, and the guys who are really good, you don't really get to that 5th year in terms of playing under the 5th-year option. If you're that good, they'll probably sign you to the option, and then they're going to start renegotiating from that point on.
Quarterbacks, extremely rare.
Sure.
Like we saw this year, Jake Locker did not have his 5th-year option picked up.
Blaine Gabbert did not have his 5th-year option picked
up. Shockingly.
I know. And Christian Ponder did not have his 5th-year option picked up.
No, that's correct.
In fact, I think just one of those, I think Cam Newton did, and the rest of them did not. The quarterback.
That's right. Cam Newton's going to play under his 5th-year tender.
Well, he's not necessarily going to. He's not playing under it. He's still in his 4th year, right?
Is this okay?
11,
this is
12, 13.
That's right. They pick this it up for next year, so they've got
they
all year to
up.
Negotiate
yeah.
a new deal.
So he's not going to. There's no scenario. I mean, unless he was to maybe even get hurt this year, I don't think there's any scenario in which Cam Newton plays next season under that 5th-year
option. I would
option.
Agree with that.
Say they're. In fact, I wouldn't be stunned if they get a contract done before the season, though I know they have some limited space in terms of what they've got to spend right now.
Not purely on the wins and losses, but I think you could argue pretty strongly Cam Newton's had one of the best first 3 years of any quarterbacks to ever come into the National Football League. I mean, when you consider statistically, last year they did win a lot. It took him a few years to win. Obviously, other guys, Russell Wilson's already won a Super Bowl in 2 years. So, you know, not going to compare him to that. That's a higher level of success. But Cam Newton has been, I couldn't imagine, like you said, them not extending him, getting something done.
He's done it without a ton of talent around him. I mean, you know, you say what you want about those running backs, but they've just been okay.
They've been
Steve Smith's,
right.
You know, late in his career. It's not this D. Smith.
I think last year really started
right.
But even the first year of Cam's career, he's probably still at a bit higher level.
Sure.
But that's all he's ever really had. Greg Olsen's a good, not game-changing tight end.
But who's been opposite Steve Smith? You know, I mean, Brandon LaFell. I mean, it's just been a run of nobodies over there.
Right, and this year, I mean, they have Kelvin Benjamin, who they got in the first round, and then they bring in Jericho Cotchery. Tyquan Underwood, I believe, is in Carolina as well. He, out of all those guys
unbelievable,
that
right?
Gene Smith drafted, has kicked around at least – that speed, that just goes to show you, speed will keep you in the league for a while if you can run.
And a great hairdo.
A phenomenal hairdo. Absolutely phenomenal hairdo.
Doesn't hurt.
I was going to get mine done just like that until I saw it. And
have you seen, is it Jerome Jr.? Jerome Jr. Have you seen Jerome Jr.'s hair?
Jerome?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Thank you. Okay. He's safety for this team.
Oh, it's the best hair on the team.
He was one of the guys they signed. He was a tryout guy.
Oh, no.
They
signed. Have not
seen
the hair.
He's got fabulous hair. You need to look at
it. What are we looking at?
Like
fro, half fro, dreads?
Well, it's a mohawk.
Yeah, it's
that's
short
like
on the sides.
4 inches tall.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of all of that.
All right. Yeah, a little bit kind of a frohawk.
There you go.
For instance.
Exactly.
Could you
it's
say?
It's a frohawk.
Let me throw a wild one.
So he's
at you here.
He's 6'2", 6'4", with a
frohawk.
He's 6'6" with a frohawk.
Right. Imagine if Mercedes Lewis had one. You would
wow,
think
then
he
was
7.5 feet
yeah.
tall.
That's
where you would have that guy. You follow the Jimmy Graham story at all?
Yeah. Sure.
You know, looking for a new deal.
Looking
for receiver money. And I think based on the letter of the law, and I'm a letter of the law guy. And when you're talking about contractual terms, that's how it goes. Now, I understand, depending on the authority, they may interpret the spirit of the law to say something else, but basically the collective bargaining agreement says that if a guy spends X percentage of snaps splitting out wide, he's to be considered a wide receiver. He has to play the majority of snaps at what's considered his primary position in purposes of the franchise tag being used on.
Correct.
Right? They franchise him as a tight end. Approximate value of that is $7 million on a one-year deal. Wide receiver's a little north of $12 million, right? There's a school of thought that if he wins his grievance, that maybe the Saints don't have the cap space to spend $12 million on him, something like that. Imagine Jimmy Graham all of a sudden hit the free agent market.
No, listen, you wouldn't. Jimmy Graham's not hitting the free agent market. They'll be cutting some guys who are making $2 million or whatever to get that extra four.
But if they're right now, you would think there've been some negotiation somewhere in the middle between $7 and $12 million.
Sure.
Neither side has agreed to, and from the Saints' perspective, that means they think he's asking for too much money as it is. If he wins this grievance and is deemed to be a wide receiver for league purposes, I cannot then see them turning around and giving him a long-term extension at wide receiver money if they're not willing to right now split the difference, or at least publicly it appears that they're not willing to split the difference between the two.
Yeah, well, and maybe they're willing to split the difference, but he doesn't want to split the difference. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. He's been the most productive one of the most productive receivers,
it, right.
Whether it's receiver, tight end, whatever you want to call him. He's been one of the most productive guys in the league over the last 5 years. So, 4 years, whatever it's been. And so, I don't know why he doesn't deserve receiver money.
I'm just trying to dream what what some teams could do with 20 plus million in cap space. And what you could, get it all, I was one person who even.
So you want Jimmy Graham here?
Damn right.
Of course,
you kidding me? If Jimmy Graham all of a sudden, if all of a sudden he got ruled to be a wide receiver and the Saints said, we're not going to franchise him at that number, wouldn't you throw at least what you were throwing at Alex Mack?
$42 million?
At Jimmy Graham?
Sure.
In a heartbeat. Whether
what was that 6 years, 42, 7 years, 42, or 6 years, 42?
Is that what it came to?
It was probably 42 million.
Be enough to get Jimmy Graham. But
depends on how much is guaranteed.
Would I sign him to a 4-year, $40 million contract? Right now, he's the best weapon at his position in the National Football League.
Complete mismatch.
Are you kidding
me?
Take that guy in a second. Now!
He makes all your receivers instantly better. He makes Mercedes Lewis instantly
makes
better.
Makes everything better.
And he makes whatever quarterback you're throwing out there instantly better.
You presume he'd make Mercedes Lewis better, provided, depending on how big that contract got, might have to get that extra cap space from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But he may be the one guy who wouldn't want to see Jimmy Graham come to Jacksonville. But, look, pipe dream, but it's fun to dream sometimes. coming up next, we'll hear from Gus Bradley post-practice yesterday. Last couple of days on the practice field, we'll get Mark's opinion on what he wants to see this team accomplish. If, you know, there are some things that you can accomplish by the end of the week that are important milestones to reach as they get ready to split up and work on off-season conditioning and get ready to come back in about 5 weeks for training camp. That's coming up next. We'll hear from head coach Gus Bradley of your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Finally I figured out, but it took a long, long time. Now there's a turnabout, maybe because I'm trying.
What you got? I heard the word sunny. That help?
Come on, this one's an easy one.
Is it?
Yeah.
This is Blues Traveler.
No.
Damn.
Close.
I thought it was R.E.M. at first.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I don't know. No.
Hang Come on, Mark.
I know this. Hang on.
I don't know.
Sister Hazel.
There you go. All right.
And who was the first one?
I actually have this.
First one was Trick Daddy.
Sister Hazel.
Where's Trick Daddy from? Is that important?
No. What was the song? What was Trick Daddy's song?
Sugar.
Sugar.
What is this song called?
Sister Hazel. It's called...
All for You.
Something about... All the money is now Blake's. I don't know.
Mike, you actually had it when you said, "Where's Trick Daddy from?"
Oh,
see, I told you. You scoffed at
okay, well,
me.
Sister Hazel's from Gainesville, Florida.
Yep, and Trick Daddy's from Florida also.
Miami. He's in Miami.
Florida,
305.
Yeah, I think it's Northern.
He's 305.
You know Skinner's coming. Now you know Skinner's coming at
yep.
some point today. Yup. All right, there you go. From Duval Doom on Twitter, I move zip codes and I still have PC problems, he is starting to think operator error. Quite possible.
Definitely possible.
Quite possible. And this operator gets saddled with some 1990s technology. Even early 2000s technology can get overwhelmed, I think, these days.
2010 technology right now is
probably
overwhelmed.
So. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's look, I appreciate the studio space. I appreciate the new window.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I do yet or not, but I will
you
say
gotta
so.
You got to appreciate your view.
I appreciate the view has improved.
No, that view is a little on the old. That's a little on the old school. That's
it really
Dolores
is.
Dolores
Weaver-esque.
Right? Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
by NFL cheerleader standards,
sure.
The Jags were always a little chaste.
Yeah, I think you've worn less clothing.
Probably
in public.
Have. And when you put that new Jaguars Today tank top on. You will join me at Bartram Trail for training camp. All right, let's talk about who are a few guys. We've been talking about it a little bit this week. Some guys over the course of either rookie minicamp, OTAs, first day minicamp, who has caught your eye in a positive way so far?
Yeah, I mean, so far, I would say certainly Luke Jokel playing left tackle. I think he's looked really, really good.
How do you
times.
Tell? Honestly,
well,
I'm not trying to be facetious here because, I, you know, Gus has said
he's
done
not
all the
getting
things.
Beat. And then if you look on the other side of that and the right tackle spot, he's getting beat. And so you can, when they do 11 on 11s, and I know we're not supposed to talk about 11 on 11s, but when you're playing 11 on 11s, you know, those defensive ends are coming. And yeah, it's not full padded, but you know, you're still, I know Tony Baselli
there's
would
always
disagree
be
with me.
Some contact.
Yeah, there's, yeah, and you can, if a guy's stopping you, getting your way, you know, getting beat and getting guys touching the quarterback, that's problematic. Luke Jokel's been very good on the left side of the ball this year so far. The rookie Smith, Telvin?
Chris or Telvin?
Telvin Smith from Florida State. Dynamic, unbelievable speed, sideline to sideline. He's looked really good. Winston Guy, who supposedly we got an interview.
We're
going to
hear from
point.
In about 40 minutes. Yeah.
Winston Guy's looked really good on the back end.
He's so impatient. He's like, supposedly we have an interview at some point with this guy. I've heard about it all morning. It's coming
supposedly
up.
Supposedly was
allegedly.
I know.
Hear that? Winston Guy has passed the eye test, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even in non-contact
absolutely.
Practice.
And I think when you look at what the Jags have done. I mean, you know, they threw Josh Evans out there last year, and he started a bunch of games. And then eventually they went to Winston Guy. They've basically penciled in Winston Guy as a starter going into 2014. They like what he's done and what he's showing, and it doesn't look like there's any knocking him out of that spot right now.
What about the other? What are some areas of concern you've got, whether it's right tackle or anything else?
Yeah, right tackle is. I mean, Austin Pastor has not been out there a ton, so they've had Cam Bradfield. And let's be honest, anybody who's followed this team knows what Cam Bradfield is. He's just a guy. He's a big body who can play a couple of different positions and maybe, you know, save you in a pinch.
Right, he's not going to be mentally overwhelmed. He knows his assignments, whether he can execute them.
And for a one-game scenario or two-game scenario, he might be okay, but you don't want to go, you know, multiple games with Cam Bradfield. You just don't. And then receiver has been, you know, spotty, but that's, you know, what you should expect given the injuries there. The number of injuries, you know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I do it all the time. The Kevin Smith kid.
Kevin Smith played. He showed out yesterday.
I thought he was outstanding. Yeah. You know, for a guy who gets brought in the middle of OTAs and you know, not even knowing if he's going to get another opportunity to impress anybody around the league.
Unbelievable hands. If he can package what he did yesterday and put it on tape for another team, if that's where it ends up. I would say that he has a chance.
I thought Wimberly did okay.
Again, both of those guys can catch the ball, but both of them, watch them run. It is labor-intensive watching them get down the field, and I just don't know how that works come game time. It may work in this setting in a padded, in a shorts practice of OTA, but, you know, there's not a ton of speed between the two of them there.
What do you
they'll outrun us. But I'm not sure they're going to outrun.
Speak for yourself, pal. All right, Tony plays foot golf over there. He's an athlete in training.
Yeah. Pretty good at it, too.
What are your impressions of Blake Bortles up to this point?
I think he's been a little inconsistent, a little up and down. But with that said, I think that's exactly what they expected. They didn't expect him to roll right in here and pick up a pro-style offense. The guy's been in a spread offense his whole life. He's been running with the ball. And so they didn't expect him to roll in and be a day one starter or be an Andrew Luck, a guy you can just pencil in and he's got this vast knowledge of the pro system. They knew it was going to take time. That's why they've always kind of pointed to 2015 with him from day one since they drafted him. They said the plan is for him to sit. So I wouldn't expect him to look fabulous. Now with that said, I mean, he is the first quarterback off the board, third overall pick. So you do have somewhat high expectations for him. But, you know, he's just been okay. And I think part of the problem is he's playing with a second-team offensive line. He's playing with third-string receivers,
if that. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you got seven receivers down, and it's all three of your starters, or all, you know, throw in A. Sanders, all your four starters, including your two rookies, and the second line. Yeah, so he may be playing with fourth-string guys. He's playing with two guys off the street, essentially.
Right. But in that regard, I think the only thing that manifests itself there is if they don't catch the football. I think, you know, are these guys going up against second-team defenders
position? Well, if you don't know the offense, you don't. I watch Jerry Sullivan every single day out there, and it's amazing how he has to bring guys back, these receivers, these bottom of the roster receivers, bring them back and tell them to do it again, try it again. This is he has to walk them through. Here's what a 5-yard slant is. Here's what a down and out is. I mean, it's unbelievable how many mistakes they make technically. And I do believe it, though, from a standpoint of a lot of these guys have gotten by on absolute physical ability for so long in their life. They get to this level and they haven't, you know, in college or whatever, they're the best player on their team. They haven't had to rely on the technical aspects. So this may be the first time where that's what makes the difference.
I don't doubt that there are some instances of that where guys run the wrong route or cut it off too short, and you're going to make your quarterback look bad, or vice versa, by the way.
Sure.
But overall, I think you can get a sense when you watch him out there. Is he going through his progressions? You know, is he turning his head? Is he looking through his progressions? When he checks it down, is he hitting that guy consistently, accurately? When he's going down the field and he sees, you know, when he sees a play developing, you've got that guy one-on-one with a cornerback. You know that what that guy's running is, you know, a streak, whatever you want to call it. Is he delivering the ball accurately? You know, and I think, like you said, for the most part, he's had some ups, he's had some downs. A couple of times of practice, I think he makes a throw that makes you go, wow, that's
absolutely. You but see he that. Also makes a throw that makes you go, wow.
Yeah, no, you're
on the,
right.
On the flip side of that.
Are you talking about
deep
the aesthetics?
Little bit of the aesthetics of the ball flutters a little bit on the deep throws, so I'm not, and I think he'll get better at that. I still think there's some adjustment period to the getting going from a college football to an NFL football, adjustment period of the speed of the game, adjustment period of the reads, adjustment period of learning the offense, all that. But I do think that if I was to say one of the things, and again, my naked eye, you know, I'm certainly not a quarterback guru or anything, but I would say that my naked eye would say he needs to throw a better deep ball.
All right, let's take a look at what Gus Bradley had to say, or take a listen to what he had to say yesterday in regards to his two quarterbacks, talking about how Chad Henne and Blake Bortles have been looking.
Pretty good. Blake, again, he's throwing better. He's throwing better. Chad has been really, really steady. I mean, through the whole OTAs, and that was a challenge to him, was, okay, really good OTA, 9 practices, what we went through. Now stack a mini camp on top of it. Just keep building on top of what you're doing. So he's done an excellent job with his leadership. You know, we'll see, too, when we get even more of the receivers back. I think that will be the telling sign, you know, where Chad's at and how much Blake is improving.
Quite possible I'm nuts, so that's why I'm going to run this by you, okay? To me, for the most part, and the stuff that we're allowed to report, I think Chad Henne has looked solid, you know, better than advertised. Tony and I didn't get to see much of practice last year because of the timing of our show at the time. So we relied on other reports. Chad Henne, not a great practice player. Blaine Gabbert wins the job from him. But I think for the most part, he's looked pretty good. But on the few occasions, I guess two occasions where the public has been able to come out for the veteran players, I think he's had two of his shakier practices. Am I wrong about that, or am I? I'm not trying to say, you know, 2,000 people in the stands are freaking him out. But it just seems like, man, I find myself thinking people are going to come out here and think, what is Dempsey talking about? Because he keeps sailing these balls, especially on those sidelines.
I think you
patterns.
Might be right. I think you're probably right that two of his worst practices probably were
the two
were
open practices
in front of fans. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, but that's saying a lot because he still wasn't horrible. It wasn't like he was horrible.
No.
I mean, he was a little more in, because, you know, a few more.
And again, he's dealing with the same thing we just talked about
with
Blake to a lesser degree. But still, I mean, he, at one point they were missing, you know, last week they were missing 7 guys, probably their top 5, arguably, and still missing their top 3, at least, you would think, with the two rookies and Cecil Shorts. Let's get an update from Gus Bradley on Cecil Shorts.
You won't see him right now this week. You know, it might be a situation where if we had practice next week, you know, you'd start seeing him run a little bit more. So that's what I think we're hoping right now, is that after this week, you know, when we start our next couple of weeks of off-season conditioning, that he does on his own, he's ready to take off and go.
Quarterback, you hope, is your leader on your football team. I see as much leading, you know, by being in the midst of the huddle, sticking his nose in there, firing guys up after plays. Cecil Shorts is all over the practice field these days, even though he's not participating.
I call him Coach Cecil.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's really what he is, right?
He's got the play sheet. He's in the huddles. He's really doing an amazing job, I think, taking on that role. Everybody looks at this franchise, and there's a little bit of a hole there without Maurice. Because Maurice was the face of the franchise.
Sure.
He was a clear-cut leader in that locker room, and kind of as he went, everybody followed his lead. And I think they're missing that right now. You'd think that Blake Bortles will be the face of the franchise going forward, maybe in 2015. But, you know, who is that who's going to be that guy? I think Cecil Shorts has a very, very strong, he would be my odds-on favorite to end up being that guy. And what you're seeing during OTAs right here is proof positive.
Yeah, and, you know, we assume full health for training camp. Just once you get there, then stay that way. You know, and that's been the thing. That's really the thing that's held him back, is the ability to have that as near 100% health as you're going to get in the National Football League. They love to tell you nobody, once the season starts, is really 100% from that point on, other than maybe Scobie.
Yeah. You got to stay on the field. You got to be available during practice. And for him, I think it's going to, you know, this is a financial issue.
No doubt.
Because he's in that contract year. He's in the year where, you know, they're already talked about, they're negotiating or at least talked about, you know, getting him a new contract. And his health is got to be a vital part of that.
It's very interesting. Does he gamble on himself? Does he, if, you know, does he, if he doesn't like the deal, if he's being paid or being offered, say, third wide receiver money, maybe they envision, you know, if everything goes well with these two second round picks, that's ideally how we see him. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee being the two primary guys. If that's the case, if you're Cecil, do you go out there and try to catch 80 balls for 1,200 yards this year and, you know, try to increase your stock and
force them
get
to
a little
pay
bit
you
of leverage?
As a one or
or at
two.
Least as a starter, as
yeah.
a, you know, as yeah. a foreseeable starter for the next 3 or 4 years. All right, practice getting underway in about 5 minutes. What are you looking for today?
More of the same.
More of the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, as we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, there's not a lot to see in shorts. I mean, you know, you like I said, you can look for offensive linemen getting beat. You look for, you know, cornerbacks, you know, playing, and you look for quarterback making through going through his progressions. But in terms of, you know, seeing a whole lot, I just, you know, it's very little that I try to pick up out of these things.
We will find out what you see if you follow at AP Mark Long on Twitter. Practice gets underway in about 3 minutes. So if you're heading out there, hopefully you're already in the parking lot as the gates are probably opened already for you out there.
Sure.
Practice going until 1:15, at least scheduled for 1:15 today. XL Primetime live from minicamp practice as well. That does it for Mark Long. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. For all size plumbing jobs, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, you name it, same day service, Saturday and Sunday included, with the right people and the right equipment. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. MetroRooter.com. You get all the info there. Or call 695-1911. If you have any plumbing issues, make Metro Rooter the one call. It's the only one you need to make. Coming up next, we will welcome in Brian Sexton and go into the Wayback Machine. A little bit of Jaguar history coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony in as Mark Long bids us adieu after the first hour of Jaguars today is in the books here live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. See, I called that one, Tony.
Yeah, you did.
I called that one on the nose. Even I know. Flirting with disaster. Okay. Already blew the theme out of the water today with the local-ish bands. Thank you.
Bands from Florida.
Bands from Florida. That's local-ish, right? I mean, yeah, band from Miami's not exactly local, I wouldn't say, but it's local-ish.
Mere 6 hours away.
That's what we'll go with today. All right, it's time for this.
And now, this date in football history.
So official, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville and as is often the case, I should say, in the month of June, birthdays are what dominates this date in football history. Although, I can't wait until your next soccer prediction. We did your one-year in the future soccer prediction as we welcome in Brian Sexton, a longtime voice of the Jaguars.
One on Friday.
We asked him on Monday, Brian, we said, 1 year from today, as we look back on this date in football history, he said, United States beats Ghana 2-1. Called it right on the money.
I did. I even called it. The second goal was coming on a set piece.
Soccer prognosticator. Brian's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I just know goals.
And I thought one of the funniest things, we went to the USA-Nigeria game, Tony Lauren and I did, and, you know, like at an NFL game, they come around with a stat sheet at halftime. What do you need on it? One on one side of the page, right. A zero on the other.
That, well, so what was on it?
That basically that, huh. And you also had the raw, like who played, who the starting lineup was,
like shots on goal,
and
that kind
right,
of thing.
I guess there were a few shots on goal, so
sure.
They count those too. That's
possession,
fine.
Possession maybe.
That's fine. USA. Bruce Smith's birthday is today. Anytime I think of Bruce Smith, I think anytime Jaguar fans think of Bruce Smith, Brian takes them back to the 90s. I guess
December 28th, 1996.
So the 96 playoffs.
Back when the playoffs were actually in December.
Right, when some of the playoffs at least were in December. And, you know, people focus on that Denver game being so epic. The Jags, in most people's minds, had no chance to be that Buffalo team. Now, this is a team that was just a year or so removed from that four consecutive trips to the Super Bowl.
Well, they still had Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith.
Absolutely.
And Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed, who I worked with in Europe when I was doing NFL Europe, and we talked about that game and what it meant, and it was the first time that a lot of those Bills players had ever seen Bruce Smith get his butt kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dominant, and they had never seen it. Anytime Bruce Smith put his hand in the dirt, he won. Now, there would be double teams and triple teams, and they'd run away from him, and he wouldn't make the play, but if he ever got a one-on-one, he won, and he didn't that day against Tony Boselli. And Reed told me that they remember going into the locker room and thinking, what in the world is going on? Because remember, the Jaguars fell down pretty big in that bowl game as well. And Natron Means and Tony and Clyde Simmons all were making those plays that brought them back.
Well, and you look at that year, that's Tony's first Pro Bowl appearance that year. So it wasn't like the NFL insiders didn't recognize that he was a guy who was emerging. But the casual fan doesn't take note of an offensive tackle not playing in their market very often. That game put him on the map.
Well, and that game also led to Monday Night Football here in 1998, bringing an ISO camera for him against Jason Taylor, who was emerging as that long, rangy kind of pass rusher. So, you know, Boselli, he made his name long before he set foot in an NFL field. Everyone knew the expectation was he would become great. But in your second year, taking one of the greatest pass rushers ever and shutting him down, not just shutting him down, frustrating him, moving him off the point, keeping him from the quarterback. He had no tackles. He didn't have an assist. He didn't have a pass batted down. He didn't have a quarterback pressure. It was as if he didn't play. And, of course, that was the final game Jim Kelly played at Rich Stadium. It was Rich Stadium back then. And it was the final game of, who else that day? Well, it was the first, it was the first playoff home loss for the Buffalo Bills.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That is really pretty amazing.
As good as those guys were.
Jags had a little string of success shutting down quarterbacks' careers late in the...
Well, in 99, Dan Marino's career ended here on this field.
Mid to late 90s, exactly.
Really did, and that was when Bruce Smith was peaking, too. I mean, that's in the middle of his career. He's in his prime. I think he was in a run of like seven consecutive double-digit sack years, had 13 or something like that year. I mean, for him... They may know that Tony Baselli was supposed to be pretty good, but there's no way they expect him to shut down that guy.
Well, and I can remember doing radio shows that week, you know, on WGR. I mean, and this was when the Bills were... I mean, the Bills have become... They haven't made the playoffs since 99. And so, you know, people now look at them and go, wow, they're the Bills. But that was at a moment where the Bills were right in the middle of the spotlight in the National Football League. And I can remember doing shows and people saying, so, you know, this is Baselli's first real test. He's seen some guys, but he hasn't seen Bruce Smith. So the stage was set earlier in the week, and then, of course, on game day when he went out there and dominated, it was, I would say, it was the coronation, the beginning of his run as the best left tackle in the game.
It's interesting because in the internet age, we go back and we try to research things all the time, and oftentimes you can't find specific things that talk about what you're looking for. This, all you got to do is put in Tony Baselli, Bruce Smith into Google, and you'll find a raft of articles that were written all over the National Football League, in all different markets, from people who watched that game and recognized what was happening.
If you really want to know what that game meant to Bruce Smith, ask him about it. Because I've been in the room when he's been asked about it.
And what was the reaction?
Oh, he didn't want to talk about it. There's excuses. He's mad. You know, I mean, he does not want to talk about it because that game is pointed out to him so often and for such a great player.
And that's
people don't point out the games where you dominate all the time.
And if you didn't dominate all the time, they'd never point out that game at all.
Well, you know, this week, obviously, with Chuck Knoll's passing, people talk about how they were 59. I think it was 59-1 all time in Chuck Knoll's career against teams that were under 500, right? So every time they lined up against a team that had a losing record, the Steelers won, except once. And, of course, people this week focused on that game.
Right.
It's just human nature, I guess. So it's the same effect with Bruce Smith, and that is people remember that game. And it wasn't long after that he left Buffalo and went on to Washington. And we all know how that ended for a lot of guys. You know, they go on and they don't dominate like they once did. So that was kind of the beginning of the end for Bruce, too.
What's it been, about 2 weeks since we've had Brian in here chatting with him about whatever?
Yep.
Let me take my best stab at this. Senior editor for digital content.
No, just senior correspondent.
Senior correspondent. Somewhere in the ballpark. I love the senior.
You know what? I don't even need it. Here's why I got the senior title. Because I've been here for 20 years.
Okay.
And when Vic came in 2000 or 1995, he had been covering the Steelers for 22 years, and he got senior. And so I figured, well, you know what? I've got a little gray hair on the side.
Uh-huh.
I'm 45 years old. I have been covering this team. This will be my 21st NFL season this fall. All right. Senior fits. But, you know, just call me Brian.
Bottom line,
that's
though,
all that matters.
I just want to get the honorary.
Have you told you my John Yurkovic story about names and titles? And I can't tell you on the air, but I'll tell you after.
All right, save that story. And
I cannot tell you on the air, but you'll love it.
Can I retell it?
No, you can't. Hear it, you'll understand why I can't say it.
All right, I can't wait. We'll do that. Again, that goes on the album, Tony, entitled It Happened on the Break.
Oh, I tell it to people all the time. I just don't ever say it on the air.
We're going to put together one of those deep cut albums.
Right, but so you had something you were going to ask me.
The point being, how's it going? How are you enjoying the new position?
You know, so far, so good. I'm tired of the OTAs. I'm tired of the mini camp. I'm tired of inventing ways, as I've done for 21 years, to evaluate what I'm seeing running around. I mean, the only thing you can see is whether a guy's practicing or whether he's not, because it's tough to evaluate, you know, whether Mercedes Lewis is having a tremendous camp or whether he just looks good, right?
Right.
But because we've got time to fill in radio and on the internet and space to fill in the newspaper, you know, we have to come up with interesting storylines, which means that we have to dig deep. Just get me to the point where a guy puts his hand in the ground with the pads across from him and drives somebody off the ball. That's what I want to see.
There's no question that's a lot more telling. And even then, We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Every year, you come out of training camp swearing you're never going to get caught up in the hype of what you're seeing in training camp, and you do it anyway.
Yeah, because that's, you know, people are listening and they're watching.
And they want
what
something every day.
What do you think? Well, I have some very distinct thoughts on things, but how far you can run with them, who knows, because I've been proven wrong so many times over the years. You know, this guy's going to have a breakout year, and it doesn't happen.
Let me specifically ask you about Luke Joeckel. I think it's very difficult for me. I've said this for ever since I've been in the business. Don't ask me to evaluate offensive linemen. I'm not watching them. If I do, I'm not sure what I'm seeing. I'll rely on people who are a lot more expert at it than I am. That being said, Mark thinks that Luke Joeckel's had a pretty good series of OTAs. My contention is, how do you know? I mean, there's really no full contact going on. His point is that they're still coming. He's doing what he's doing technically to prevent them from having a free run at the quarterback, what have you. I think you're...
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, sorry, Mark, but you can't tell what it is until the pads are on the big guys. Here's how... I agree, it looks like he's having a nice camp. Two reasons that I would agree with that statement. One is, I asked Jeff Longman, and Jeff can evaluate offensive linemen, even when they're running around in their underwear out there, and he just looks at him and says, he's, you know, the knee bend, the hip slide, you know, the way that he moves... In offensive linemen, you want to, especially a tackle, drop the hips, slide, right? Maintain your balance and not get out over your knees. And Lagerman looks at that and sees something. And if he tells me that he's having a good camp, I believe that. The other thing is just that he's out there. You know, I mean, we got to see him for five starts technically, one at left tackle, but really four games in one quarter. And to have him out there and practicing is so critical because he's one of those cornerstone guys.
Oh, no question.
And so having him on the field and practicing every single day over and over and over, that's a victory for him this offseason.
I mean, honestly,
he gets more reps.
Other than Blake, who will hopefully turn into that cornerstone guy, got his contract done today, he would be the next most important guy, I would think, for the future of this franchise.
Five critical positions, right? And the Jaguars have... two, maybe three, right? Locked up. So you've got
counting wide receiver now is the fifth.
Yeah, that's the fifth one.
It's become the fifth.
Quarterback is number one. The guy who protects him, the left tackle. The guy who chases him, the pass rusher. The guy that covers the receiver, the corner. And the guy who catches the ball and, you know, the game-breaking receiver. So you've got Joeckel, you've got Bortles. You know, Branch looks terrific in terms of if you were to carve a guy out of stone in terms of his height, weight, and shoulders and arm length. I mean, Andre Branch is just an athletic
and
guy.
And Gus points him out almost
all
every
the time.
Practice.
You know, he could become that pass rusher. He broke through late last year. We'll see. You've got some nice young corners. One of them could emerge. I mean, I really like what I'm seeing from Demetrius McCray.
And they're talking him up a little bit as well.
That's a position you can't evaluate in terms of the ability to turn and run. Does he
pass catchers and guys who can cover?
Those guys you can. You can see the athleticism. And then the receiver, and we'll see whether Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee can evolve into that. But Joeckel and Bortles, you know, for Dave Caldwell, check, check. Now let's see what else they
can
do.
Right. Well, check at least as far as you filled those holes. Now they
you've taken
the
your
guys.
Best. You've taken your exactly. best swing, evaluated, and made your choice.
All right, we got a break. But what's next up for you? What can we look for on the site?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to
go doing
out,
something
I,
all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm going to jump out there and join Jaguars.com live and bloviate and fill
bottom
some
of
air.
The hour.
Yeah, probably about 20 till 12. I'll be on some player features. And some exciting things that I'm looking forward to involving being in the stands on game day, blogging with the fans in sections. We're working on putting all that together, but it'll be a completely different sort of play-by-play experience this fall with people around me. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, folks, you can catch Brian along with J.P. Shadrick, John Osher coming up as Jaguars.com Live will come on at the bottom of the hour, obviously, on Jaguars.com. It'll take you for about an hour of minicamp practice today. See you out there in about 45 minutes.
Looking forward to it.
There he goes, Brian Sexton, longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, looking back at the day Tony Boselli dominated Bruce Smith and really put himself into the national consciousness among the best offensive linemen in the National Football League. Happy birthday, Bruce, as this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while still providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home or your business. Your family's going to feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing that Best Fence installed your new fence. They're going to give you a professional free estimate at your convenience if you call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. Brian mentioned Jeff Logman breaking down the film. Tony and I love that as well. That's why Jeff, is going to join us tomorrow for about an hour at 10:15 to about 11:15 tomorrow on Jaguars Today. Coming up next, Tony sits down with Winston Guy vying for a starting spot in the Jaguars secondary. That's straight ahead on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, don't forget the Fan Feedback Spotlight today. Tom Bush Family Dealerships brings it to you every day. We are asking you to tweet us, and when you tweet us individually, directly. Tweet at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at MD underscore 1010XL, just because I had to be different. And always use the hashtag Jaguars Today. If you use the hashtag I Love T-Shirts, that's fine. But if you don't use the hashtag Jaguars Today, you're probably not going to win one of those T-shirts
probably
that
not.
You love. That's what I'm guessing. Today's question, Tony, we asked folks to fill in the blank, finish the sentence. In the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will blank, whatever that is, because the Jags signed today, of course, to his rookie contract, 4-year deal guaranteed with a 5th-year team option for Blake Bortles, $20.6 million in guaranteed cash.
Yeah.
It doesn't include the potential 5th year, which he'll likely, you would hope, certainly get.
It'll either get picked up or hopefully they're renegotiating a
right.
contract.
Either he's got a better deal coming down the line. Winston Guy, you got a chance to talk to him yesterday. Come away impressed?
I did. It was my first chance to ever really talk to Winston, and yeah, I was impressed. I've been impressed watching him, especially this offseason. Last year, you, I, and Brent, we talked about this a lot when he was playing that last month of the season, especially. He just looked out of control at times with what he was doing on the field. And look, he knows that this is an offseason where he's been given a big opportunity to potentially be the starting free safety for this team. And, you know, there's been a lot of people talking about, well, isn't he really a strong safety, and what does that mean for him in this Jaguar defense? I had a chance to talk to him about all those things and more.
All right, let's hear that conversation right now on Jaguars Today.
Here with Winston Guy, and look, you mentioned the word opportunity. Getting that chance to be potentially a starter for this team right now. What does that mean for you? Has that changed your mindset coming into this training camp at all?
It means a lot to me. You know, Gus trusting me. He's giving me the opportunity. You know, so I'm just taking every day and every rep as if it's my last, you know. Just capitalizing the moment, you know. Just trying to get myself ready, you know, how I'm going to approach the game when I go out to practice the same way I'm going to go out and play the game. So really it's just an opportunity for me just to get better every day mentally, you know, just about the game and just to try to be a student of the game. But, you know, I'm trying to be one of the best safeties, you know what I'm saying? So for me to allow myself to be able to get that chance of just getting repetitions and just capitalizing the opportunity that I'm getting to be able to be a starter.
You're lining up every day out there next to Jonathan Cyprian. How much are you guys helping each other out? Both of you trying to work your way kind of in that starter's role. He's a second-round pick. You're brought over here from Seattle last year. How much are y'all helping each other?
It's good, man. Me and Sip got a close relationship. We make sure that we're on the same page out there. And, you know, just the main thing between me and Sip is just, you know, we communicate. You know, we'll talk football all day. Even before practice, you know, we in meetings or something, or if he sees something or something, you know, we'll talk about it on the sideline. So, you know, me and Sip is real intelligent on, you know, just the game of football. And I think that, you know, with us having the opportunity to be able to play with each other, I think that, you know, it's only going to grow. And it's funny you ask that question because, you know, last year after our last Tennessee game, Michael Griffin came up to me and he was like, man, he was like, you and number 37 going to be something special in this league. He was like, y'all some young guys. And he's like, man, just keep working hard and just keep playing. And he was like, eventually you two guys is going to get noticed. So, you know, I kind of took that and ran with it, you know, because, I mean, for a veteran guy like him that's been to a few Pro Bowls, you know, that's respect. That's other safeties from different teams that's seen us on film. So, you know, I respect Michael Griffin for saying that. And that's just giving us the opportunity just to get better as a team.
How much is that month and a month and a half? Basically, it's starting with Sip back there in the secondary last year. How much does that help you going into this season, you think?
It helps a lot, man, just because, you know, with me and Sip being on the same page, we have to be able to trust each other. You know, I know he can depend on me, and I know I can depend on him and our jobs and our responsibilities that we need to do on the field. And I think that with me and Sip being able to play together on the back end, I think that makes the defense better, you know what I'm saying? It makes the secondary a lot better, you know, just because our corners and our linebackers, trust us on the back end to be able to make plays and make stops for us to be able to get off the field. So it's fun, man. We go out there to play seriously, but we have fun at the same time. You know, this is a game of fun. You know, you gotta be able to do your job and have fun at it at the same time. This is excitement of the game.
Yeah, they use the word joy a lot during the World Cup. That's what they talk about with soccer a lot. And look, it's a game, man. And as soon as you stop having fun, you know, then it's not a game anymore. Now it's a job. You know, it's something else. And I'm not saying it's not, but it's got to be fun too. And when you can use that, how much does that help you on the field when it's not something that you feel like, this is not just my job, this is something I love to come out here and do?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a passion thing, man. It's either you got it or you don't. You know, you got to be able to love what you do every day. Like, you know, in my mindset now that I'm, you know, it's my third year going to the league, like, I got to be able to have fun and enjoy this, you know what I'm saying, while I have the moment, because there's so many other players that would love to be in my position. And, you know, this is something that's taking care of myself and my family, you know, so I got to love it. This is what I love to do. Like, this is keeping me living, you know what I'm saying, and I think that this is an opportunity and it's a gift from God for me to be able to go out there and practice, you know what I'm saying, with the guys, because you never know, man. Today could have been my last practice, you know. Something might could have happened, you know what I'm saying, but I can say in my mind that I try to do everything I can to make the game fun and don't take the game for granted, just going out there and just playing the game the right way.
Coach Bradley often talks about being able to recognize your own weaknesses, the things you need to work on in your own game. When you look back at last season, what are you focusing on this offseason getting ready for 2014?
I would just say just being just a student of the game, just being attention to detail on everything. You know, like, just even like pre-snap, you know, what's your responsibility, what you need to do. You know, if anything going within the pre-snap, you know, you got the adjustments in your head. Just being on top of things, you know what I'm saying? I think you play faster, you play better, you able to play up to your potential when you able to zone everything out and just key in on what you need to do and not worry about trying to do other people's responsibility, you know, because when you try to do that, it takes you out of your game. Just focus on what you need to do and everything else will fall into place. You know, if you do everything that you need to do and you're where you need to be at, plays is going to come to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you go out and try to do too much or try to do stuff that you're not normally doing, then that's when you put yourself in a bad position for something to happen, you know. So just being on the details every play, you know, and just progressing from there.
Here with Jag safety, Winston Guy. And look, how tight are you with Josh Evans? You guys are both going for that starting free safety spot.
Me and J.E. cool, man. Man, we talk every day, you know. It's usually something always funny and stuff, but Josh is very intelligent too. This is one of those situations where, you know, when you get an opportunity, whether if it was him or if it was me, you know, you got to be able to take an opportunity of what you get from the coach. You know, if they allowing you, giving you a chance to be able to play. But, you know, the game, I mean, football is really about what you can do on the field. You know, I mean, you never know. Josh, even though he got drafted here, he might not be here next year, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same situation that I was in when I was in Seattle. Even though I got drafted, really every year it's like a tryout. You never know if you're going to make the team. Film is your resume. And when you're able to get the opportunity, when the coaches give you an opportunity to be able to showcase what you can do and fulfill, to be able to put an asset to the defense or wherever position you play, you gotta take it and run with it, you know what I'm saying? And in my mind, you know, I want Josh to be able to be the best that he can be, but at the same time, you know, this is a game where we all, as a team, but we individuals too, you know what I'm saying? It's life. This is what the game is made of, so you got to be able to take the advantage and the opportunity that you get at full effect. Injuries, you know, the next man up got to be able to be on it. You know, if you're not, they're going to find somebody else. That's a tough question. There's never no hard feelings if he's playing and I'm not, or if I'm playing and he's not, you know what I'm saying? If anything can happen, and he got to be able to go in and be able to play at a level that he knows how to play.
I hear you, man. And just a couple more things with you. A lot of people have said that, you know, you're playing the free safety spot here in Jacksonville next to Cyprian at strong safety, that it's almost like you're a strong safety playing that free safety position. Do you think that's fair? Is it fair to even call it free safety and strong safety in this defense, or?
I mean, I guess you can call it what you want to, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the position is really the same. I mean, it depends on what we're in, but we're interchangeable, you know, so you got to be able to know the responsibility of both. But
I've seen you out there saluting in practice. What's the salute about? Is that to let us all know that you would have had that guy? You're going to tag him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just one of those spur of the moment type things. You know what I'm saying? The offense sometimes be getting carried away with their celebration, so we got to let them know we still here, too.
You frustrated all yet? Not be able to, that full contact, are you craving it yet?
Nah. I mean, when you're thinking about putting pads on, the rules are still the same. I mean, it might be different when we thud up. You know, drive, fire, let them go. But trying to take shots in practice, that's just dangerous, you know, because we need those guys too. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if I had a clean, clear shot to take on a receiver, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put myself in a position to be able to make a play. But it's stupid and unsmart for me to try to take a shot on one of our players and get him hurt. You know what I'm saying?
That's for week one of the preseason, right?
Yeah, you just don't do that to your own teammates.
No, I'm with you. And World Cup USA comes back and gets that goal against Ghana. Were you watching? What was your reaction? Or
you know what? I wasn't.
Oh, no?
I mean, the town is kind of big, and then there's just so many people in different places, man, especially around the town center area. You'd be like, man, there's a lot of people here on a Monday, you know, so obviously, you know, the World Cup is big, man, so I'm trying to keep up with it.
I got you.
You know, I'm not really into soccer, but when you actually go to a soccer game, it's actually fun, you know, but kind of watching it on TV, a little different. It's like baseball.
I love baseball and soccer, man.
Yeah, but you got to be at the games to actually be like, okay.
I'm with you.
But watching on TV, like, I got to watch like 9-10 innings, you know, but I mean, soccer quick.
I'm with you, Wint. Before we let you go, Winston, 10 seconds. Just talk to the fans here at Jacksonville. What do you want to tell them?
Just tune in this year. This year is going to be something different, something exciting. So, We're excited to be able to play our first home game this year, you know, with the new stuff they got to mm-hmm. addition. So, you know, just come out, Jack Nation.
There you go. I was desperately hoping you would get his 10 seconds.
Oh, I got the 10 seconds then.
I'm telling you, Tony, that will be a great feature on at least the Fat Tony Show. I'd love you to bring it to Jaguars Today, a compilation of the best of 10 seconds. I think it would be spectacular.
It's going to happen.
Let's hear the final thoughts from all these guys. Winston Guy, great. Look, hey, what do they say? The best ability you can have is availability,
no
right?
Doubt.
Josh Evans on the sideline. One guy goes down. It's tough luck for him. It's an opportunity for somebody else to come steal your spot. And so far, it looks like he's taking advantage of it.
No, he definitely is. And I asked him about that saluting thing that he does in practice, even when it's just, you know, his teammates and the media out there. And he, at least on half a dozen occasions throughout the last 3 weeks, has had plays where he has pulled up because he would have crushed somebody.
Right.
And
that's when he gives you the salute.
He salutes to say, yep, I know I had him.
Right, I had
him.
You
know I had him.
Right.
I want to make sure that you are aware of what I just did. And look, like I said, last year for the last month, this is a guy that looked like he was playing a little bit reckless. And I'm curious to see what it's going to look like for him when he gets back out on the football field for preseason and in training camp this year, because he's going to be given the opportunity at least to start with Jonathan Cyprian back there. And what's that going to look like with really two guys who are more comfortable as strong safeties? Not both, they can't both play that position. They're both going to be up the field at the same time, so what's it going to look like?
Right, Winston Guy has got to be a little bit more under control because he's got to cover a lot more ground back there. He can't bite on,
yep.
You know, he's got to recognize the tendencies of formation, see where the play's developing, a little bit more responsibility in that regard as a free safety. You're not always just coming forward looking to lay the lumber on somebody. All right, good stuff there with Winston Guy, with Fat Tony. That was in the locker room following yesterday's practice. Practice underway right now. The boys from XL Primetime getting ready to take over the broadcast window coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Stick around for that. Coming up next, though, we got a lot to do. I've got a shout out, Tony. We don't do a ton of shout outs, but why not? I was requested to do a shout out.
Sure.
I got some info on the Bold City Brigade St. Augustine's pub crawl going on this weekend
cool.
that I'm going to pass along to you. And we'll look at the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you to complete the sentence in the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will blank. How would you finish that off? We'll go through some of the responses we received both on Twitter and on Facebook so far today. Metro Rooter presents a show every Wednesday with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. There we go. Knew he'd get him. Close strong. Local-ish bands today. Your theme music from Warren Brooks, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly. Taking over as the greatest producer in the history of sports.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you coming out to visit us today?
Why not, right?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if the public is on the fence right now about coming out to practice, Lauren is at 1010XL World Headquarters right now on Hogan Road. She is going to hop in the Brooksmobile, and she will be over here by like 12:15, 12:20. And spend the last hour of practice time with the Jaguars Today crew. I'm looking forward to that.
Just don't ask me no questions.
And you won't tell us no lies. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
Shout out coming. Here it goes. Ready? Let's go shout out to the UK Jag fans by request from @Stoffelis Prime on Twitter. Sure, why not?
What up, UK?
What up? He says, is it possible to get a shout out to the UK Jag fans? He's not talking about the University of Kentucky. Is he?
I'm
assuming not. How about this, UK Jag fans? Why don't you shout us out on Friday? We're going to have a lot of open phone line time for you on Friday. Tomorrow, Jeff Loggeman is going to join Tony and I in studio. Probably have another player guest on tomorrow. By the way, we're angling to get the new quarterback signee. You may have heard of him. Angling to get him early next week.
Bomber?
The rookies will be in the first few days of next week and talk to the folks in the know in regards to their availability. We're hoping to get Blake on with us early next week as far as that goes. Cecil Shorts is going to join the drill, I know, on Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We're just chock full of Jags now on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We love it like that. The boys from XL Primetime are out at practice right now. They're going, me, 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 me. 15 minutes from now, they take over. Joe C. Ryan, the Hacker
Green,
and
T-Wick. The cat just visited the set out there.
So he did.
He's getting
pumped
Hacker, up.
Hacker said something along the lines of, dirt. That's a pretty cool cat. Something like that. You think? I'm guessing it was something in that ballpark,
did
right?
Did he break bread with the cat?
Indeed.
That's what I need to know.
Indeed. Yeah, well, Hacker thinks if you're in the vicinity of someone and food is being served anywhere within a half mile, you have broken bread with that person. I'm not sure if he understands that means you actually had a meal
right
with that person, sat down to eat, or stood. I don't care. Just ate with them. Regardless, I have no idea. Let me tell you what's going on with the Bold City Brigade St. Augustine chapter this weekend. Tony, they're nice enough to invite me out to a bunch of their events, and every time they do, I got to say no because I'm working. And this week is no exception. They've got a pub crawl going on in my neck of the woods in St. Augustine on Saturday night. I'm not inviting you. not that it's mine to invite anyone to. I would invite you to, say, the first half of the pub crawl. After that, you're on your own.
No, I'd be fine.
I'd have to leave you by the side of the road, Fortunato. You've heard the stories, haven't you, from New Orleans? Super Bowl? It wasn't pretty. Anyway, I mean, really, wasn't pretty. The boys are meeting. They're trying to pick a new venue, a new bar for the chapter. Okay. There's no sign-up required if you want to go. They'd appreciate if you RSVP via Twitter to @BCBSt. Augustine. And typically, they meet at the Corner Bar, which is on Anastasia Boulevard in St. Augustine. I think they're going to do that for a little pre-crawl of their own. And then J.P. Henley's, which is on Marine Street, 10 Marine Street, which is right down the block from 52 Marine Street, where yours truly used to hold court with the lovely, at the time, Heather Nash, when we were living in sin together on Marine Street. It was a fantastic locale, nasty apartment, but the rent was dirt cheap. Rent was like under $300 a month. And you crawled out of the living room window and you were on the roof overlooking the bayfront. And we would grill on the roof. We would tan on the roof. We'd do whatever we did on the roof. It was
you would do what people who are paying under $300 a month.
What you would imagine
do.
People of that low social standing would do on the roof in a semi-public locale. That's what we would do back in the day. I have fond memories of Marine Street until the rats came, and then we could no longer stay anymore in that apartment. I'm sure it's much better these days. I'm sure it is. Anyway, J.P. Henley's at 8 o'clock has no association with rats whatsoever.
No, it
doesn't. Okay? Just their approximate vicinity to where I used to live is all. So if you want to go on the pub crawl, tweet at BCB St. Augustine. Let them know you're coming and meet them at J.P. Henley's at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. I'll be doing a show on Sirius XM. That's what I do on Saturday nights. It's a thrilling existence. Yeah, Tony. Fantasy football for 3 hours every Saturday.
I think I'll be out at the X-Men.
Oh, will you?
Doing some stadium voicing, yeah.
Oh, Tony's the new, you're the new PA guy, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's, you can call me the PA guy, sure.
For the Jacksonville Axemen. By the way, Spinner Howland, when we were talking about soccer earlier, he said soccer is 90 minutes of pretending you're hurt, rugby is 80 minutes of pretending you're not.
There you go.
How about that? Throwing down the gauntlet. Tony, today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, was fill in this blank, complete the sentence, whatever you want to say. In the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will dot, dot, dot. And give us some sampling of the tweets we received on that, please.
On Twitter, from Sean, finally be that franchise quarterback that leads us to the playoffs every year with AFC title appearances and a Super Bowl. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Christoph, will be considered the best quarterback drafted in Jaguars history. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Peter, B2 will lead the Jags to 25 wins, 2 playoff wins, and a division title Pro Bowl selection. Now back to my corned beef and Jaguars today. Brian, in the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will lead the Jags to the Super Bowl. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Stevie, have more playoff wins than any of the 2013 or 14 quarterbacks. Hashtag Jaguars today. I assume that means drafted in the last 2 years.
I would assume so, yeah.
Eric says, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Hashtag Jaguars today.
In 4 years.
Yeah, hashtag.
Man, no pressure, Blake.
Here's hoping. Hashtag need a new shirt from Eric.
All right, as long as he threw the hashtag Jaguars today, we don't mind the begging.
No, we don't.
The begging's fine.
From Judson, be a Pro Bowler and still have the hottest girlfriend in Jacks. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Larry.
What if he marries Lindsay, though?
What if he does?
Still have the hottest girlfriend in Jacks? Oh, that would be trouble in the Bortles household.
From Larry, win the Super Bowl. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag I still like free shirts. From Jason, in the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will make or break Gus and Dave's Jaguars career. Hashtag Jaguars today. And a couple more here from Ben. Lead the Jags to a world championship. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag t-shirt. Hashtag pandering. And finally, from I don't
love
know, at Google it, dude. In the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will earn $20.6 million. Don't believe me? Hashtag Google it, dude. Hashtag Jaguars today.
All right, there you go. He's getting his Twitter. What? I don't know what you get out of that.
I don't know.
I don't understand the obsession with how many followers you have on Twitter.
Yeah.
But regardless, it is an obsession. Here's from Facebook.com/Jaguars today, which you all should be following. I'm obsessed with our totals. We only have 927 people liking the page right now. How dare you? John Daraskovich said in the next 4 years, Blake Bortles will dot, 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 take the Jags to the Super Bowl and become mayor of Jacksonville.
There we go.
Hashtag Jaguars today. Jeff Cummings liked this one. Blake Bortles will dot, 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 have better career numbers than Blaine Gabbert. Hashtag Jaguars today. Sean Cook says become Johnny Football's biggest thorn in his side. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Duval till we die. I say the whole thing because I might mess up the letters otherwise. You'd think the letters would be easier, but it's really not for me. BJ,
I did the same thing recently.
Do you do
You're
the same
not alone.
Thing?
Yep.
At DTWD. That's just, that doesn't roll off the tongue.
For some reason, I do DWTD.
Hmm. Because you're mildly dyslexic.
Duval, we till die.
Duval, we maybe. I don't know.
Sure, that'll work.
Let's see. What else? BJ Thacker said, hold the hopes and dreams of a Jacksonville fan base that will stand behind him all the way. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag rose-colored glasses. They'll all, yeah, because that I added that one because they'll all always stand behind him, Tony, regardless of his performance.
Until he's not worth standing behind.
Let's see. Become a solid QB for the Jags, leading him to an AFC South title, as well as several playoff bursts. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Andrew Luck.
That's ooh. Optimistic people out there.
Hey, you know what? Why not? He's going to win 4 Super Bowls the next 4 years. He's going to be just like that guy in Gainesville. 1-1, you know, coming off the bench. He'll just come in, a little goal line, a little red zone, QB action. And then,
maybe. Look.
Then his coach will declare his third season in the league as the greatest team in NFL history.
The Texans announced yesterday that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be their starter because, really, what other options did they have for who's going to be their starting quarterback?
Savage.
So why not get it out of the way? But if you look at the AFC South right now, where all the prognosticators are basically putting the three teams out outside of Indianapolis in the cellar of the league.
Yes.
There's a lot of them putting them down there. If you look at the quarterback situation right now, going forward in the AFC South, you have Andrew Luck, obviously. And that's about as good as you can have in a young quarterback in this league right now.
I thought we were starting at the bottom now.
But if you look at the other three teams in the division, including Jacksonville, look, there is a reason for Jaguar fans to be more optimistic than any other fan base in this division. I mean, Tom Savage?
What would it be? Would the rallying cry be, we're less mediocre than you as of today?
Maybe, but
as of today,
what it would be is we drafted a guy at number three overall
because the two
guys that we love believe in this guy, and nobody else in the division outside of Indianapolis can say that right now. Hopefully he works out.
I hear some stirring music, but I think it's in my own head when you speak so glowingly of what's to come here. I'm excited about that. And obviously, Jake Locker, they're not convinced.
No.
They didn't pick up his fifth-year option in Tennessee. Blake Bortles will be crushing everybody. By a year from now,
but be awesome.
Great sampling, and we hit a nerve today. That was a good one. We got a lot of new people tweeting the program. And again, tweet us directly. You can tweet at Jaguars today all you like. Has nothing to do with the show. We're not going to see it. If you do that, tweet at MD_1010XL. Tweet at 1010XL Fat Tony. Tweet at 1010XL Lauren, and you will get our attention, particularly with the hashtag Jaguars today.
Oh, yeah.
It's that simple. So thanks to all the feedback today. Thanks to Mark Long from the Associated Press. He's out at the practice field right now. All you T-shirt winners, including ones who tweeted us videos of Derek Harvey earlier today, we will contact you later on this afternoon, get you in touch with Lauren Brooks.
It's an impressive video.
The keeper of the T-shirts. And also, thanks to Brian Sexton for stopping by tomorrow. Jeff Loggeman in. He'll break down the film on radio for us, as we like to
Four
do.
Four I go six. I did my homework. I remember this one.
We will. Any other acronyms or any other new positions that the Jags have added today?
We'll talk to them about auto.
Break it all down.
Yeah.
The auto and everything else. And right now, probably still going, I'm guessing. Jaguars.com live ongoing. The boys of XL Primetime. We're going to see them in a few minutes as they're out at practice field. Last day open to the public for minicamp. We'll give you a full report on that tomorrow, including some special guests along the way. Thanks to Metro Rooter. They bring you the show every Wednesday. Again, for all size plumbing jobs, whether it's in your home, your business, even industrial plumbing jobs, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it, if it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter are the folks who can install it, who can solve it. They've got a master plumber on staff. You can remodel your bathroom. Metro Rooter can do it all. Same-day service, Saturday and Sunday included. The right people, the right equipment. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or give them a call at 695-1911. That'll do it for us. Looking forward to seeing Lauren Brooks out of practice coming up. Jaguars today in the books. XL Primetime straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.